So why are you here? I don't know for sure. Each of us has our unique journey, but let me hazard a profile. You care about children and families. You care about education. You care about issues that connect with education, poverty, violence, health, economic development. You realize that the system is not working for every child, but you are not yet ready to throw up your hands and walk away. In that sense, you have hope. But my guess is also that you carry with you some frustration at the entrenched nature of the status quo, the complexity and enormity of the challenge we face. Is that kind of close for a profile of the room today? So who are we, this group gathering us together? We share the same concerns and the same hopes and the same frustrations. We began as a handful of Presbyterians, but we quickly expanded that group. Though some of us work with entities that think about this stuff, this particular effort is volunteer-driven. None of us are elected to or appointed by any official public entity. We are neighbors and citizens and parents and grandparents, urban and suburban. And at some point, because William Calla introduced it to us, we read a book by Syracuse professor Gerald Grant called Hope and Despair in the American City, Why There Are No Bad Schools in Raleigh. Grant compared Raleigh and Syracuse, with Syracuse standing in as a proxy for Rochester. So we read the book, we met Professor Grant, we asked our friends at the Community Foundation for a little traveling money, and 11 of us traveled to Raleigh to soak up all we could, and we returned energized and hopeful. We have become ambassadors, dare I say, evangelists about the Raleigh experience. So let me acknowledge one thing. As we have met with many, including many of you, when we mention the word Raleigh, one immediate response has been, that won't work here. Said even before we can say North Carolina. Even as we have continued to insist that there is no that yet. And we understand and we concur, Rochester is not Raleigh. Raleigh is not Rochester. Rochester is not Hartford or Memphis or Omaha or Montgomery County. Rochester is Rochester. And yet there was enough happening in Raleigh to compel us to bring 5 friends here, and they thought there was enough to share that they have risked traveling to Rochester in November, of all things. So Rochester is not Raleigh. They talk funny. Our barbecue is so much better than theirs is. And yet we believe that there are principles, practices, habits, values that are very much worth emulating, adopting, and adapting, learning from, to be sure. What we do know is that Raleigh faced what Rochester faces, and a community of leaders looked at that future and found it unacceptable, and took action and made changes, certifiable, sustainable improvements on behalf of their children. Why would we not pay attention to that? So here's what we know. We know that there is a direct correlation between poverty and poor academic performance. For optimal academic achievement and performance, we learned from Gerald Grant and others, including Richard Kallenberg, that school buildings should have no more than 40% of its students on free and reduced price lunches. 40%. And other studies indicate that once that percentage exceeds 53%, a school building begins to fail. What we also know is that in the city of Rochester, 46% of children live in poverty, and that as Ed Doherty's compelling poverty report reminds us, Rochester has the 5th highest poverty rate among the top 75 U.S. metro area cities and is ranked 2nd among comparably sized metropolitan cities. That means 80% of Rochester City School District students qualify for free and reduced price lunch. 40% is optimal, 53% is a tipping point. What does 80% therefore mean for us? We know and believe that individuals and children and families can overcome the effects of poverty. We know and believe that individual schools can overcome the effects of poverty. But what about school districts and systems and entire populations of children and families? Going to a high poverty school or a highly segregated school profoundly affects students' achievement outcomes above and beyond the effect that that child's individual poverty or minority status. And we know that both the racial, ethnic, and social class composition of a student's school is approximately 150% more important. That's 150% more important than a student's individual race or ethnicity or social class in terms of their educational outcome. So knowing that, here is what we affirm: that every child can learn, that teachers want to teach and teach well, that every child needs and deserves access to good public schools, and that address or zip code should never be a barrier to that opportunity. That the journey, as Superintendent Vargas has suggested, of improvement by the Rochester Central School District must continue, but that at the same time, the adage is true. It does take a village to raise a child, and that our village is not the school district alone or the city of Rochester alone. That doesn't imply one model or response or solution or another, but it does affirm that we are all in this together, and that artificial boundaries are just that when it comes to the formation of our children, all of our children. Raleigh figured it out, not perfectly, and it is an ongoing effort. For them, the socioeconomic balance, 40%, was the key, and we'll soon hear how that happened and how it continues to happen and why that matters. Rochester is not Raleigh, but their results are clear, and we should pay attention, all of us, school leaders, business leaders, politicians, civic leaders, members of the faith community, we should pay attention so that great schools for all becomes an academic imperative, a business imperative, and a moral imperative. So we come here because we care, because we sense in this community there is renewed energy and commitment to make change happen, for something new, to learn from our Raleigh friends, and also to learn and be motivated by each other, all of us in this room. We come not to be prescriptive, but to be generative. We sense a need for broad community collaboration, for new models and pilots and innovative thinking, for a sense of that will never work, to be trumped by a sense of the possible. So this is not the ending of a conversation, but the beginning. We are mindful that there are many other conversations happening concurrently. In fact, and this is my personal observation, perhaps more of these conversations need to happen in relative proximity to one another so that we are harmonizing them, aligning them strategically, to use the current parlance, because we certainly are not interested in forming another group in a long litany of groups. But we are interested in planting some seeds here and there, seeing how they might be cultivated, working across boundaries of all kinds to advance the ideas and energy that we experienced in Raleigh.